Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Well, we are going to continue our series. This is part 3 of 4 for Supernatural, and that's why we have everything themed out behind me. And we are talking about the supernatural power of God. Before I get in too far, I would like to extend a special invite. It's last minute, but we were asked this week to lead worship in Hope, Arkansas at 2 o'clock today. So at 2 o'clock, as soon as service is over, we're going to be hitting the road, headed, packing up, hitting the road, and going to lead worship at my home church where I spent my later childhood years and early teenage years. Is where I was called into ministry. Is the church that I was at when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a lot of good times and memories. But they're doing a homecoming, and also they were able to do a remodel much like ours. And so it's their big reveal day, and they have invited us to come and lead worship. So if you'd like to come, 2 o'clock, we're going to be in Hope, Arkansas at First Assembly of God. We would love for you to join us there. Amen. All right, so we're talking about supernatural and how grace is the supernatural, abundant power of God that is living with inside of us. Grace is not just something that comes and throws a big blanket over our sins and says, okay, I know you're doing evil, but I choose, you know, to blanket it with grace and I'm going to ignore it. No, it is the supernatural power of God to live life in a way that is abnormal to the way that the world is living. How many of you know that Christians should live differently? The Bible says that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath. We should be living as an example to the world. And listen, we do that by receiving grace. Grace is the abundant power within to live life supernaturally. Somebody say, I want some of that grace. All right. And so we talked about the power. We also talked about using your gift, how we have been given spiritual gifts that are meant to be used to build up the body of Christ. We should know our gift and we should use it wisely. Everyone has been entrusted with a spiritual gift, whether it be teaching or preaching or edifying or encouraging or speaking words of wisdom or words of knowledge. God has gifted each and every one of you this morning to do something that will encourage and build up the body of Christ. And we receive that. In fact, the Bible calls them grace gifts. And so today we're going to take the message one step farther, and we're going to talk about saving the world. Would you watch this video with me this morning?
Stark, you know that's a one-way trip.
Save the rest for the turn, Jay.
Sir, shall I try Miss Potts?
Might as well.
Of New York City have become a battleground. The army is here trying to contain the violence, but clearly it is outmatched. And I can't see it.
Come on, somebody shout, I want to save the world. Look at somebody and say, God has called you to save the world. Look at somebody else and say, God has called you to save the world. You know what we do as Christians many times is we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We sing songs about Him saving the world. But the truth of the matter is that God has equipped and empowered us to be instruments to save the world. In fact, God has entrusted the world to the saints. The Bible says that He has given us keys to the kingdom of God. And if we're not using the grace gifts and the power that has been deposited within us to save the world, then we are not living according to our calling. Look at somebody and say, I want to save the world. Hey, give me a little bit more volume so I don't have to talk as loud. If I got to sing it too, I got to save as much as I can. John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Now, I got to stop right there because the church that I've been observing all over the United States has not been living like they believe in Jesus, because the Bible says, if you believe in me, you will do the same works I have been doing. And he didn't stop right there. He said, and even greater works. Somebody say even greater. Because I'm going to the Father. And so what Jesus is saying, he said, hey, I've been living on this earth. I've been walking on this earth. God incarnate in the form of man, completely flesh. The Bible says that he was made like us as human beings so that he could endure the same kind of trials and temptations and struggles and the same kind of things that we go through, so that he could prove to us that we can live life supernaturally, more abundantly. He's saying, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. In fact, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to be interceding for you, and whatever you ask according to my name, I'm going to look over to my Father and say, hey, Daddy God, go get them. Do it. He says, because I'm going to the Father, you can do even greater works than I have been doing on the earth. So what did Jesus do, man? He saved the world. Listen, he died on the cross for our sins, but not only did he do that, he healed the sick. He brought recovery of sight to the blind. He allowed those who could not hear to be able to hear. In fact, he rose the dead. I'm like, God, until we are raising people out of their coffins, we have not done greater works than he has done. And so my idea is that my best must still be ahead of me somewhere, because the best... Look at somebody and say, the best is yet to come. I can promise you, you have not reached your full potential yet. Somebody say, yet. Because I don't know about you, but I want to strive to reach my full potential in Christ. But I know that I'm being transformed into his image, and I'm being made like new day by day by day. And I know that I'm on a journey that's going to lead me to a place where I'm living life more supernatural today than I did yesterday. And when I wake up in the morning, our prayer should be, God, help me to live more supernatural than I did the day before. Because the closer we get to Jesus, the more we become like him. God has called you to save the world. And number one, we are called to save the lost. The day that the church forgets that our primary mission in life is to save the lost is the day that we become country club Christians. We call them CCCs. Country club Christians, where we come and we get a membership and we punch in, and we've got our little group that we meet with on Sundays, and we come in and we say, oh, let me tell you about my fishing trip. Let me tell you about the deer I killed. Let me tell you about the ball game I went to. And we do all these things, and there's nothing wrong with all that, because that's the fellowship. That's good. That's good. But if we're stopping at fellowship, our mission is unite. We're Unity Church, U-N-I-T-E. Most churches never get past the U. We have fellowship, and we have a good club, And if you're real good, we'll let you join our club. And if you dress the right way, you give the right way, you talk the right way, and you live the right way, you can be a part of my club. But I have to tell you that God didn't call me to be a part of a club. He called me to be a part of a network called the Kingdom of God that is called to advance against the forces of darkness and to take ground for the kingdom of light. We are called to save the lost. Can I tell you that the lost don't always look like we want them to? So you got to know your purpose. Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." To seek them out, not just hope that, oh God, if we sing the right song, you're going to send them to us, Lord. Send them on down, God. No, no, no. It is to seek. God was on a mission. Jesus was on a mission to seek the lost, but not just find them. He wants to save them. And how do we save them? We don't just leave them in the state of being lost, and we don't shake our finger at them and say, well, you know, you need to find God and get right or you're going to hell. No, he's saying, hey, I want to seek them. And then whenever I find them, I want to say, hey, let me show you that there's a better way. Let me show you that there is still hope left in this world. Let me show you how you can be transformed in the image of God. Let me show you. Listen, God has called me to live supernatural, and he can help you to live supernatural. And the way you've always known things doesn't have to weigh things have to always be. We seek and we save that which is lost. That is our purpose. We are to save the lost. Number two, we are to offer hope to the hopeless. To save the lost. Number two, to offer hope to the hopeless. Luke 18 through 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Who is this? Jesus. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Now, this is Jesus. We believe in a triune God, a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three entities in one. They are all equally God. We believe this with all of our heart. And here we are, the Son, the Son, the Son, the Son of God, who is fully God, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me." So how many of you know if Jesus needed to be anointed by the Spirit of God, how much more do we as sons and daughters? Listen, we must be anointed by God, by the Spirit of God, to do great and mighty things. How many of you know we need to be fully relying on the Holy Spirit of God? "To bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor is coming." What is he saying? He's saying, hey, God has anointed me. The Holy Spirit of God has anointed me to bring hope to the hopeless. You may be blind today, but you don't have to be blind tomorrow. You may be lost today, but I'm so glad that I serve a God who will find me and who will allow me to be found and who will allow my eyes to be open. And listen, you may be broke today, but you don't have to be broke tomorrow. You may be broken today, but you don't have to be broken tomorrow. Can I tell you that we serve a God who is mindful of the brokenhearted? God's not looking for people that have it all together. He is looking for, in fact, he criticized those kind of people. He's looking for people who are needing a helping hand, who are in a place of life that's saying, God, if you don't do something for me, I'm not going to survive. If you don't do something for me, I'm not going to make it. Like the man who's laid beside the pool of Bethesda. Listen, I'm telling you, that kind of faith that says, if God doesn't stir the water, if God doesn't help me, then I have no help. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. And can I tell you that those kind of people exist in our city? And they're hurting and they're dying while we are meeting in our clubs on Sunday morning. We're talking about the weather. I'm telling you that God has called us to seek and save the lost and offer hope to the hopeless. Now I'm preaching better than you're getting excited this morning. You got to know your purpose, but you also got to know your strategy. Purpose is to save the lost, and our purpose is to offer hope to the hopeless. But how do we do that? Well, it's real easy. Jesus gave us the formula. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free, give what you have received. Heal the sick. This is what Jesus told the disciples. He said, hey, I'm going to the Father, but here's what you're going to do. In fact, I'm not going to be with you in physical form forever. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to heal the sick. There's people sick around you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. How many know there's a lot of sick people around us all the time? I was somewhere yesterday, and honestly, I was a little frustrated. We had our kids all around us, and we had our babies, and there was this guy, and he was... like the whole time. And he would make himself so sick that he would go outside, get out his can of Skoal and put some more in there. Man, I just got to get out here in the cold weather. I tell you what, I get nauseous inside. And then he'd come back inside. And I was getting frustrated. I was like, this... Well, I can't say, because he may be watching. But I can tell you, if you're watching, my friend, God can set you free. I don't even care. God can set you free. And you know what? I was so frustrated that I forgot that I was a blood-bought Christian who has been empowered with supernatural grace that could have laid hands on that man, not only freed him from his bondage... And I don't mean like lay hands on him, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about lay hands on him in a nice priestly manner in the name of Jesus, right? No. We forget that there's people all around us that are hurting, that are hopeless, that are helpless. But we serve a God who can make all that better. We are the hope of the world because we carry the hope of the world within us. Somebody say, I'm the church, and it's my job, come on, to carry the church to the world. Look at somebody and say, you're the church, and it's your job to carry the church to the world. We spend so much time, money, and effort trying to get the world to the church when God has called us to carry the church to the world. I cannot save Magnolia. My ministry and my calling is to equip you to save Magnolia. A pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so I'm here this morning to equip you and to remind you and to encourage you that you are in the world. You're not of the world, but you're in the world, and you are taking the church to the world. So whatever you receive right here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and whatever you receive on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday, whenever you're reading your Bible, you have the ability to take what you have received to a hurting and dying world. All you got to do is go to Walmart, spend about 5 minutes, and you can find somebody that's hurting. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, and it is our job to offer hope to the helpless. Heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free, and give what you have received. I bet you for every person in this room, I can track back to someone who was living life unselfishly, and they saw you, even if it was a parent who raised you in church, they saw you and they said, here is somebody that is worth investing in. I'm thankful for the people in my life who saw me and said, this little bratty, not much good, little mischievous, and hot-tempered kid is worth investing in. He's worth investing in. But a lot of times we forget about that. And because we do live selfishly, and we live in a selfish society, and I'm not beating up on you, I'm just telling you, we live in a selfish world. Everything is geared around what you can get, what you can receive, what you can, better this, better that. And we live in this culture to where we live in a very selfish world. But if we can take a moment and say, you know what? Somebody was able to give me something, and now it's my turn to give it to somebody else. Somebody gave me hope. I want to give hope to somebody else. Somebody prayed for me when I was sick and I was healed. And I want to pray for somebody that's sick so they can be healed. You don't have to be in a pulpit to lay hands on the sick. God has called you to heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. Give as freely as you have received. Matthew 10:8 says this. Give as freely as freely. As freely, just one more time, as freely as you have received. Not expecting something in return, because Jesus gave everything he had and he gave it freely. Knowing that we would spit in his face, take the grace of God and the gifts of God for granted, knowing that we would let him down, knowing that we wouldn't live perfect, and he gave it freely. And God wants us to be living our life in a way that we are able to give it freely. Our time, our talent, our treasure, whatever we have been entrusted with here in this life, God wants us to give freely so that we can save the world. Can I tell you that the world is looking for something that's real, that's authentic, that's not fake it till we make it, something that is real. Real compassion. Not compassion that will draw attention to us so that we can look good, showing compassion. So that we can look like we got more than we really got because we show compassion. But God wants people to live a life that is real. Well, we have a real compassion that's inside of us that says, God, if something doesn't happen, you are coming back. The Bible says that you are coming back when we least expect it. And that a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will raise first. But there's a time coming where all the world will be judged. And it is my job and it is my responsibility not to live the country club Christian life, but to live a life supernaturally that will enable others to know you for who you really are. God, I have tasted and I have seen that the Lord is good, and I want somebody else to taste and see that the Lord is good. What do we do when we go to a restaurant that has really good food? I know we live in Magnolia, so some of you never tasted one, but they're out there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, we do got Mexican. I mean, some good Mexican food, man. We got Brother Gary. And we got Miss Kelly and Jeanette and Judy and Brenda McCamey and all these people who cook for us all the time, Miss Tracy and Miss Vicky and all those people that cook here. If you're looking for a good meal in Magnolia, we got a great meal at 9:30 every Sunday morning and at 5:30 every Wednesday night right here. Right here. And you don't even have to go wait in line somewhere. You can just come and eat. It's not potluck, man. This stuff is made to order. Just saying. All right. You got to be careful with them potlucks. You don't know where that food come from. Okay, I got to move on. That's why I'm in favor of name tags on, you know, at potlucks. I think you ought to put your name tag in front of the dish. Okay, I got to move on. I'm just saying, one time, can I take a side note? One time somebody invited us to dinner. It was not Magnolia. Somebody invited us to dinner. We went to their house. Man, we were excited. Man, they had had some good food at potluck fellowships, man. And we go up to their house. We pull up, and what do we see? We see the window to their kitchen where the food's all on the counter where we're about to eat. And we found out that at that house, cats get to go first. My mom went to somebody's house after dinner one time because, you know, she's always been in leadership in the church and different things. Somebody invited her over to their house for dinner one time after church. And, man, she was sitting there enjoying a big old pot of soup, man. It was so good. And she was enjoying it. And then she took a big old spoon, and there was two squirrel eyes looking up at her. Name tags at potluck would be good. Oh, y'all acting like I'm being bad this morning, but you know you thought about it. You know you thought about it. Tell me. Some of them people, I know they brought a dish. I take the dish to the kitchen. I scrape it all out in the trash can and make it look like somebody really enjoyed it. But we call the trash can the spot. That hit the spot. Dang, giving away all my secrets. Got to rename the trash can. All right. The world is looking for something real. I'm being real this morning. I'm for real. I'm being real. I ain't getting this service back, I don't think, but I'm being real. We're going to have potluck for Thanksgiving. Ain't nobody going to bring nothing. Okay. The world is looking for something real. Let me help you. We got a city full of people who says, I'm not going to church with them hypocrites. Because they tried to go to church one time looking for hope, looking for help in all the wrong places. Because they got to that church and all they found was judgment. The world is looking for somebody real. Look at somebody and say, be real. The church must demonstrate the supernatural in love. I know churches that they figured out the supernatural, but they haven't figured out love. And my Bible says, without love, it's like a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You might can lay your hands on the sick and they be healed, but you know what? Without love, it means nothing. The church must demonstrate the supernatural in love. Man, I love you so much that I don't want you to stay this way. I love you so much that I want you to experience what I've experienced. I love you so much that I want to offer you hope and help. Listen, I don't care if anybody knows. In fact, when you give and you help somebody, maybe out of compassion, it's best if nobody knows. The Bible says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And so, you know, there's this thing out there of true, genuine, supernatural power that can come in everyday, simple kind of ways. Just by having a heart that is real. A heart that is full of compassion. And a heart and eyes that look out and see that the world's not as perfect as I thought it was. And that I'm not as perfect as I thought I was. And a life that's willing to take a step and to demonstrate the supernatural. I love the clip that we saw of Iron Man earlier. A selfless life that would say, the lives of those around me are worth more than my life. Whether I make it or not is irrelevant. But what I do know is that there is a God who has called me to live a life supernaturally and super abundantly so that others can know who Jesus is. We are going to have a missionary in a couple weeks on November the 7th on a Wednesday night who is going to work for a ministry called Live Dead. If you've not heard about the Live Dead ministries, these people are going into places where they are not free to share the gospel, where they can be put to death for sharing the gospel. But they said, you know what? Our life is not worth it. Our life is what God has given us to use to see people who would have never heard the name of Jesus preached. Now, I hear missionaries come in all the time and say, you know, if it wasn't for your giving, you know, these people would never hear about Jesus. That may or may not be true, but they got TBN in that nation. And they have open borders and people are free to share the good news about Jesus Christ. I love all the big crusades that go on and things like that. But I'll tell you just what pricks my heart are the places where people have their heads cut off for sharing the name of Jesus. And there's people who says, you know what? My head is not that valuable anyway. But what is valuable is a kingdom that will last forever. And I want it to be my mission to live dead and to share the gospel with as many people as I can. I've got two books in my office called Jesus Freaks. It's about martyrs who have given their life because they were living life supernaturally. We say, Pastor, that's extremism. Read the Bible. It's extreme. The difference between Christianity and other religions is that we are called to be passionate and extreme in our faith in love. Because love conquers all. And love wins. And my Bible says that God is love. We must demonstrate the supernatural in love. It has been and always will be your mission to save the world. If you're living outside of that calling in your life, then you're cheating yourself, you're cheating this church, and you're cheating the kingdom of God. We're called to save the world. You are called to save the world. Look at somebody and say, you are called to save the world. Look at somebody else, you are called to save the world. Would you stand with me all over this room this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.